Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Beth Ellicott.
And you're listening to the midweek version of Fiber Talk, the twice-weekly podcast for needlework artists. Tonight, we have Deb DeCrane going to show us how to do lacing. And we've been back and forth with Deb, much more than me, to put it together. She's putting in a lot of effort to make sure that we can learn how to do lacing and all, you know, the steps involved and everything. And she's working on one of your pieces. Is this a recent finish or just one you had in the drawer?
No, I finished Marianne Lang. Actually, I saw it at Guild in September, and I said, she goes, "Do you have anything I can use for the lacing?" And I said, "Well, I'm almost finished with this if you want it." And she's like, "Yeah, perfect." And so I finished it and we met. Yeah, she's doing a whole lot of pre-work, gotten a whole lot of photos ready so you can see the steps, because there's just no way. It takes a good amount of time to lace a piece, even my piece, which is relatively small. But she's got that all laid out. It's going to be a fabulous night. If you want to see what it takes to lace, and, you know, if you go to a good framer, why that step costs so much.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a matter of time. It's time.
Yep. That old expense, time, yes. Yeah, she has several photos, so we'll be we'll have the video, and then we'll do a slideshow of photos that we'll put on the Fiber Talk website. So we'll do a page about this and put the video on there and then the photos, so you can use it as a resource. You can bookmark it and then go back and follow the video and use the pictures to help guide you. And so it seems to me, and we'll talk about this tonight, but it seems to me that if I was going to learn to lace, that I would just take a piece of blank canvas or blank ground cloth, just a scrap that I don't really care about, and lace that first.
Right. It depends. I know the first time I laced, I had a friend who sat with me, and the two of us, she goes, "Okay, now this is what you're going to do next, Beth." Literally, we spent a whole day where she walked me through each step, and I've laced that one time. So I think I needed it done for something, and I can't even remember what it was we laced. But it does take time, but it'd be nice, if you could practice on it, just a piece of the linen. And it, again, if you're using canvas, if you're going to lace your, like, needlepoint canvas, that takes a lot of strength to pull that taut. So
yeah, I saw that somebody working on a needlepoint canvas one time, and it looked like you had to muscle it pretty good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a much squarer piece and has little less give, so if it's fairly square. But still, just to get it to wrap around and behave, it took took some energy. Yep.
Right. Right.
So, yeah. Well, it's going to be fun. Really appreciate Deb. Yeah, she's put a lot of work in, so really appreciate her doing that, so that we'll have a really good resource for how to lace needlework. Because that's the thing. If you're having it custom framed, and you can walk in with a piece that's already laced, then, you know, your costs for the framer just drop by a ton. Yeah, because they just have to cut the frame and the mat and mount it for you, and
there you go.
Yeah,
done.
Yep.
But yeah, so it'll be fun. It'll be fun listening. Deb's a good teacher.
Yep. So that's tonight, 8 o'clock usual time, 8 o'clock Eastern on the YouTube channel, and then Sunday at 2 o'clock Eastern is when we're doing Shopping at the Attic. So pretty excited about this. This is an experiment. I'm going to tell you right up front. Gene and I are sticking our necks out a little bit here. This is definitely an experiment to see, because when they do it on TV, they have people all over the place.
Right.
We don't have people all over the place.
It'll be fun to see how it all works out. I think it'll be fine. I think it's going to be I think people will be patient and. But it'll be fun to see what she has.
Yeah.
I think it'll be fun. It'll be a fun afternoon.
Yep. So that's at 2 o'clock. Now what that deal is we're trying to do it just like the shopping shows on TV, where Gene has put together a bunch of stuff, kits and charts and linen and threads and whatever else. I have no idea what she's put together that we're going to offer. And I'm assuming all of it will be at a discounted price. So, you know, try and save you some money. But for instance, she might have 10 kits of a sampler that are available at X dollars, you know, and just for discussion purposes, 10% off. So 10 kits, 10% off of this sampler. And then when those are gone, they're gone. So we'll put them up, we'll talk about them, and then you call into the store. There's two numbers, we'll have them on the screen. You call into the store, and you know, if you're one of the 10, then you get the piece. But last Wednesday when we talked about this, I said you'll have your credit card ready so you're not on the phone any longer than you have to. And then Jennifer came up with a brilliant idea to call the store ahead of time and get your credit card on file.
Right.
So,
which makes perfect sense, because yeah, that way you can just say, you have my credit card on file, and they'll just check you off, say, okay, there you go, you've got a kit, move on to the next caller. Because it's not like, again, like there's not going to be a bank of phones there.
No,
people
no.
manning them.
No, not an option. Not an option.
No. And so I want to know, so you're going to preview everything before the show to make sure there's nothing in the sale that you absolutely have to take home with you? All right. But move to the next question.
Yeah, I didn't think about that. I'll be straight up. I won't do the night before the garage sale pillage routine. I'll just stay out of it. Yeah. So if you want to call the store, the phone number is 888-942-8842. So 888-942-8842. That's it's the Attic Needlework, atticneedlework.com. 888-942-8842. And then you call and say, you know, I'm shopping at the Attic on the 17th, and I want to leave my credit card on file to speed things up. So you can do that. And then they'll sort it from there. So yay, Jennifer, that was a really good idea to do that. So that'll probably save a bunch of time for a bunch of people. So,
right.
I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be fun. Even if it becomes this massive headache, it's still going to be fun to give it a try. So,
right. And it might really work out.
I know. Well, and then if it does, how cool is that? Huh?
Right.
Yeah.
I think it'll be fun. No matter what, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yep. So, and it'll be the usual setup. So Beth will be, I don't know if Jennifer's going to make it or not, but certainly Beth will be there to answer audience questions. So it'll be the same setup as the Wednesday shows. You'll be online and watch it on the YouTube channel, and you can comment and so on and so forth. And then Beth will be there while Gene and I are showing things to field questions. So same setup all the way around. It's just that you can buy stuff from the Attic.
And it's so much fun. I mean, Gene is such a wealth of knowledge. It's just listening to her is enjoyable. So even if you're not in the mood for shopping, just listening to what Jean has to say about her kits and her pieces, that is what I'm looking forward to.
Right. Yeah. Because she, all day long, I'll listen to her. Yeah.
Right.
All right. So 2 o'clock Sunday on the YouTube channel, the Fiber Talk YouTube channel. We will be shopping at the Attic. It's two hours now. So it's 2 hours long, and then we're going to take orders for a half hour after that. So it'll be 2 to 4 will be the actual show, and then we'll sign off, and then you'll still be able to call in till 4:30 Eastern time, and then back it up, you know, depending on what time zone you're in, back it up from there. But 2 to 4 Eastern time will be the actual show, and then you'll still be able to order a half hour later. So if you know, when we sign off, that doesn't mean you can't place an order for the last 3 items that we had. There's still going to be time. So.
Right.
Yep. That's going to be fun. Fun.
Yes.
Yeah. And then the other thing that we announced last Wednesday is Fiber Talk is going to do a new publication called Samplers. And it'll be six times. We announced this on the Wednesday night show. So it'll be six times a year, Jan, Feb, March, April, you know, May, June, that routine. But it's not going to be a print magazine. It's, and the reason I'm going to try and call it a publication more than a magazine, though it really is its core is going to be a magazine, is because I want the thing to be as multimedia as possible. So, for instance, there might be an article on Quaker samplers, and then along with that, we would have, say, a video with the author, or we might have an audio podcast, or we might have a slideshow with captions, mm-hmm. or any number of things. And then you might have an article that is nothing more than a headline and an introduction, and then a slideshow or an audio podcast. So it's not going to be something you put on your tablet and then just flip pages and read. It's there's going to be plenty to read, but there's also going to be plenty to listen and watch. And the whole reason for doing this is it's samplers, stories behind the stitches. Is we can get charts and graphs anywhere we want these days of reproduction samplers. They're available all over the place. And so to do another magazine that's just full of charts and graphs, or charts of projects, to me is no good. But what's missing is the information, the history, the background that goes with these samplers. That's what's missing. We don't get enough of that. And of course, we get with every chart, you get the history of the little girl as much as the reproduction person could find. Okay, so right. that's interesting to a point. And sometimes it's quite a bit, and sometimes it's not very much. Like Kim Young here a few weeks ago when she read that obituary for, was it Ann Took? Is that right?
Yes. No, yeah. Mabel Took.
Mabel Took. Mm-hmm. You know, that was, you trip over those things and they're wonderful. But what, you know, where did Mabel stitch? Where did she go to school? Who'd she learn from? What do some of the symbols mean in these things? What's the difference between a North American sampler and a Quaker sampler? Or how is a Mexican sampler different? How did they deal with symbols? How did they colors, you know, the different colors? And then did that have to do with dyeing in the region? You know, dyes that are available? You know, those kinds of things are what this, right. this publication is about.
Yeah, and there's so much, you know, personally, you know, curious about, you know, there's all these different schools. And, yeah. you know, what are those? You know, I'm just curious about those, even those basic things that, you know, people who are in samplers know some of that. But it's like, wow, this would be nice to have it in a publication I could read, that not going and searching for all this information myself. So.
Yeah,
and yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be a lot of fun.
Oh, I'm excited. And that's the thing. A lot of this information is available if you know where to look for scholarly papers and books and other things. You can find the stuff because it's recorded, but there are people all over the place who are doing new work all the time. And, of course, the Internet has opened so many doors. And right. it just seems to me that we need to get this in the hands of people who stitch in general, but certainly people who love to stitch samplers, learn more about what, you know, because it's the only aspect, it is the only aspect that has that kind of history in the whole needlework world, you know, that, where actually you're connecting with people.
Right.
So, yeah. So that's coming up. Samplers is the magazine, and I already have several leading research people who are have offered articles, and we're well underway already, and pretty excited about it. So it'll be January, announcing it now because I've already sent a thing to people who might contribute. And you think, well, that's a long way off. Well, in magazine time, it's not that far.
No. It's not that far at all. Not really.
So, and it'll be subscription. So the first issue, the Jan-Feb issue, the premiere issue will be complimentary, and then a subscription after that. And I haven't settled on the price yet, but we're not going to kill you. It's going to be reasonable. And a subscription after that. So everybody will get to have that first issue at no charge. And then, of course, we'll have advertising in it. And that again as multimedia as possible. So we might have an ad from, say, The Attic or from Sassy Jacks, and then with that would be a little interview with Gene or with Kim, and talk about what they have to offer, or what the new sampler that they're excited about, or whatever it might be. You know, Gene might talk about her sample of the month. Kim might talk about new charts coming out from Sassafras samplers, those kinds of things. So even the ads, we want to be multimedia so that you can get more than just simply reading the word. And, you know, and there's a thing with multimedia. I mean, it's an educational principle that people learn different ways. Some learn by reading, some by listening, some by watching. And so the idea here is to have a publication that everybody can take something out of. So, yeah. And plus, I was bored. I got nothing else to do.
I know. That's what I keep thinking. Gary has multiple things going on, and now he's starting another magazine. Yeah.
why not So that's coming up now next Wednesday. No show next Wednesday. Mark and I are headed home next Wednesday from Phoenix, so no show next Wednesday. Then on the 27th, if everybody's schedules hold together, Kathy Ray will be back with a Thread Talk. So
I've been thinking about those, because I need to go back and rewatch the first two. She mentioned some things about splitting threads. I think that's the second one. And then about, I think fabric was the first one. But anyway, I've got to go back and rewatch those. Those are fabulous resources that Fiber Talk has provided that we, you know, I think we forget they're there. So I need to go back and rewatch those.
Yeah.
They're on my list of things to do. Because I need to remember how she said something about splitting certain threads, and some didn't split well. And I need to go watch that one.
Yeah, those are the kinds of ones where you almost have to watch them a second time. So the first time, it's just getting your head wrapped around what she's presenting.
Right.
And then you think about it a little bit, and then you go back and watch it again and take out of it what you can use.
Right. Yeah. And again, it's because there was a project I was working on. Well, it's probably Spring Hill, and I'm actually getting closer to those sheep, and I'm thinking, well, I wonder if I can split some really fine wool. And wait, Kathy Ray said something about that. I've got to go watch that video again and see which one she suggested was the best one.
Yeah,
just for that. So I'm like, okay, now I have time because I'm not anywhere near those sheep. But again, you know, it makes those shows exceptionally valuable, because you can rewatch them. They're there for us to, as a resource.
Yep. And as you have reminded many, many times, when you watch those, share them with other people, do the likes, subscribe. Right. If you haven't subscribed, please subscribe to Instagram and YouTube. It helps us a lot. I don't talk about it nearly as much as I should, but please like and subscribe, because that keeps us active in the algorithm of the greater system, whatever that is.
the greater YouTube, Instagram world, whatever that.
Yeah. So anyway, that's why we do them, is exactly that, so that there's a resource there. You can go back, you can learn from it, you can share, you can say hey to a friend who's has a question, hey, listen to this, you might get a solution here. So
right.
Same goes for the video that Natalie Dupuy and I did at the EGA National Seminar, where she played judge for two of my pieces. Go watch that thing, because it will help. It really will.
Yep. Yes, it will. Yes, it will.
And speaking of those things that we do that you learn from, Sunday, I want to post this early because I'm so excited for people to hear it. Beth and I and Trish and Wynn did a podcast a few days ago that, I really can't wait for people to listen. Trisha came up with the idea. She wanted to do a podcast where we talk about perfection being the enemy of good and or the enemy of progress. You know, and that's something that Gayanne Rogers has brought up, and we've talked with her about several times. And Tricia wanted to do a show and talk about that. And so we said, okay, let's go. And we started on that. I think we could have, we were a full hour.
Yes.
We could have gone probably,
Yes, easily. And she, you know, she brought up some interesting points about girls and women and perfectionism. And I thought it was great fun to talk to her about it. Yeah, I'm excited about that one too. I keep on saying, like telling people, oh wait, that's not posted yet, so you can't you can't listen to it yet. But when it comes out, it's going to be great.
Yeah, so you want to catch that one. That's one you want to share with your friends. Well, I think you want to share all of them, but it really will make you think. And we just really got into an excellent discussion about various aspects of what goes on in terms of how we go about our stitching and what we try to take out of it, and whether perfection is something that's worth chasing, and having confidence in what you do and in trying new things. And we just had a tremendous discussion. So that's Sunday. I really honestly want to put it up early, but I got to stick to the schedule. So,
yeah.
But then you brought up, now it's interesting to me because this was not planned. So Inspirations Magazine had a piece, issue 303, the All Stitched Up newsletter, which if you're not getting, you should get, yes, about productivity. But then you found within that was an article that actually was more. What was that one?
It was, I don't remember the name of it, yeah, but it was about, I called it Productivity and Stress. That's the one it's in my mind. And it just hit so many things after we talked to Tricia. It was how to escape the productivity trap is the one that's in there. And, you know, we all have, I think it's the end of the year. We're kind of, everyone is fall, at least here in the Northern Hemisphere, we're getting fall, the leaves are changing. So I at least start thinking about, okay, so how many projects have I really finished this year? Have I met my stitching goals? And then it gets me all this worked up about, oh, I haven't done enough. I haven't gotten enough done. And then the wheels start turning in my head. And then it's like, oh, no, I'm not getting anything done. This was really an interesting article. It says, you know, you really can't, you're finite. You know, there's only so many hours in the day. You only have so much. You're only going to live so long is the other thing. And how do you not get all stressed about the goals you want to meet? And their bottom line was, you know, maybe reduce your goals. and the reason, again, this, and I was thinking about this too, because you talked to Heather Gitlin about the Master Craftsman program.
Yes.
And she described how you had to have all your stitches were supposed to be perfect. And, you know, you had to design after the first, at least in the Master Craftsman for canvas work, you had two that they gave you the design. And then by the third one, you were designing something. And I thought it made me really rethink this article. And then listening to you talk to her made me rethink, do I really want to make that sort of commitment to a Master Craftsman goal? You know, there is only a finite amount of time. Is that where I want to be putting my productivity in working on my stitching goals? And I kind of thought, you know, no, because I'm not a perfectionist. You know, it's kind of that know yourself sort of thing. I'm not a perfectionist when I stitch. I try to improve my stitching, but am I going to ever be really perfect on every stitch? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if I have that in me. I don't have that perfectionist streak in me, I don't think. I know people who do, but I don't. I don't have that. And I have other goals. I have other things I'd like to see done. My casket being one of them. And not my casket isn't to lay me down in, but the Trish and
yeah,
the
not that casket.
Not that casket. Not that casket. And I know that will take a lot of energy, and I don't want to put that off for forever.
Yeah.
So that's kind of, so I'm kind of rethinking about, you know, what are my goals? What do I want to do? And kind of saying, okay, yeah, I don't want to, maybe I don't want to work on the Master Craftsman program. Maybe I want to finish some of these other projects that I have laying around and get them done. I don't know.
Yeah. See, and I have that perfectionist problem. I mean, and it gets me, it causes problems. I mean, it just sucks the fun out of things sometimes. But see, for me, the Master Craftsman program, just, you know, as an item in this whole world of things that require that perfection. See, I would not view it as, I mean, obviously you have to get very good at it in order to achieve. So you can't have sloppy stitches. But to me, you know, I would do that as a challenge. I would enjoy the challenge of how high of a level can I achieve. But what stops me from doing that is starting it and not having the time to devote to it right now to do it justice. And so then I, you know, the little voice says, don't try. You know, I get to a point where I'm not doing the Paying Job magazine, then I'll feel like, okay, you know, cause I feel like if I can't devote a couple of hours of concentrated time just about every day to that kind of a thing, then I can't do it justice. You know what I mean?
Well, and here I'm going to throw a monkey wrench in there. I know at least two people who've done the Master Craftsman, and they were holding full-time jobs. And I don't, one at least, no. One at least doesn't have children. Okay. I knew she wasn't raising children.
So I'm pathetic. Okay.
No, I kind of makes me wonder, you know, it maybe it's that perfectionist. You have to have a couple of hours, you know, where everything is cleared off your schedule so you can concentrate on stitching. For me, I can do it for half an hour and I'm okay with that. That's enough time. And I know that might be enough time to do the Master Craftsman program, but is that where I want to devote my time?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but yeah, I think you've got the skill level to do the Master Craftsman. I think your stitching is fabulous. So I don't see that being a problem. I know myself, I think it's kind of like, do I really want to do this? And what are my goals? You know, because when I mention it to my husband, he'll say like, so are you taking this so you can teach at the end? You know, why is this a goal? Why is this Master Craftsman important for you? Which makes you, you know, think, well, why am I doing it?
Yeah.
Is it, you know, and I just don't think it's as burning of a desire as I once thought it was. I have other things that I'd much rather accomplish.
Yeah. Yeah, see, for me, I don't need a what am I going to do with it kind of thing. I just need a here's a challenge. It's kind of like you know, climbing a mountain. You know, why'd you do it? Because it's there. and for me, yeah, that challenge is there, so I'm going to do it. And then just, you know, not to have people applaud or anything, but just to be able to say, hey, look, I did this. I put my mind to it, and I accomplished it. And people who know better than I said I did a good job, and
right.
I'm good with that. You know, that's I'm okay with that. That's, you know, whether you do right. anything with it, I don't need to do anything with it. I guess it just doesn't
right. So that's not the end goal for you. It's more of the gaining of the knowledge, and for me I think it's that time commitment, knowing it's a 12-year, you know, pretty much, you know, you can do it faster, I'm sure. But for me, it would be I'd be hitting the last. Oh yes, this is due next week. I'm gonna have to FedEx this in, sort of thing. And so I just know, it it's not appealing to me, at least not right now. Now, 2-3 years down the road, I might change my mind. But after talking to Trish and Wynn, I keep thinking, that casket.
Well, but that casket, you paid a good chunk of money to have that casket, and you certainly wanted to have an end result of that. But that is its own master craftsman class,
right?
In its own way. I mean, that's a huge challenge, and you're not just going to copy what Trisha put together. You're going to go beyond that. So in its own way, it's really a long-term class.
Right. And so again, it's that looking at those personal goals. I've had a goal to do one of those caskets before I even knew that Trisha Nguyen was offering this class. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've seen them in museums. I've seen images of them, and they've always intrigued me. And I'm like, oh, that is something I really, really want to do. So, I can't wait in a lot of ways. It makes me a little nervous to start it, but it's like, okay, yeah, you know, just pulling those threads out and start looking at them and start drawing something out and get going.
Yeah.
But that won't be till January.
Okay. Okay. But let's go back to that word goals, because I think that that's an interesting word in a hobby, and we'll, you know, we'll use the word hobby for now, though I really feel like this is a creative art endeavor that we all do. But in a hobby situation, something you don't have to do, something you don't have to do every day, something that's not making money that puts bread on the table, you know, that kind of activity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because for me there are no goals. I don't set any goals for any of my stuff. And, you know, I get at this juncture of the year, October, middle of October, I don't look back to see what I've finished. It just never enters my mind. For me, it's the process of stitching. I've enjoyed throughout the year, whenever I can, sitting down and just having some quiet time to stitch in normal times, do it with friends or at an event of some kind. But, I don't feel that. So I don't have that kind of stress. The only time I had that kind of stress or have had that is if I was stitching something as a gift. And, and I won't do that again. If I stitch something and want to give it a gift because I decide to do it afterwards, that's one thing. But to set out to do something as a gift, I don't need that stress. That just takes the fun out of it for me. You know, you want to do it for the person, you want to do it just right, and so on and so forth. But not
something that you feel like you have compelled to
no,
do.
It. No, no.
Right. And see, that intrigues me because you're very much, it seems to me, very goal-oriented in your job, and like even in Fiber Talk, you set up podcasts ahead of time. You know, you have a schedule, and yet you're not that way with your stitching. And it just every now and then I think, oh yeah, Gary probably doesn't care about getting this done. It doesn't matter to him. And to me, I know Jennifer mentioned this at one point on a former podcast that having all these whips around kind of makes her nervous. And it does me too. After a while, if I have too many upstairs around in my stitching area that I have started, they end up going downstairs because I just can't have them where I'm looking at them because it bothers me.
So you can't just block all those out and just focus on the one you're interested in at the moment.
No.
They talk to you all the time. Finish me.
They talk, finish me. In fact, if I go down and look at projects, I'm like, oh, there's one that I really would like to get finished. Oh, there's that one. Or I talked to a friend who says, well, did you finish that one? And I'm like, no, not yet. That one's still waiting. And then so I like having goals because if not, I don't feel like I finish anything. And I like to see my work done. I don't necessarily need it hanging on my walls in my house. But I do like to have it. And once it's done, I'm fine. It can live in that basement drawer forever. So it just doesn't, that doesn't bother me. Unless I'm giving a baby gift away and I haven't fully finished it. That one's got to get done because before the baby turns a year old. So
yeah,
but other than that, no, I don't really care. Doesn't really matter to me, but I'd like having goals. I need to have those and I set them in January, or I start thinking about them now. And I think, okay, what would I like to accomplish in 2022? What would I like to finish stitching before the end of the year? Where am I on all the projects that we have started in Fiber Talk
mm-hmm.
that I need to move forward? And I like to get some of those done. If not, they bother me. They're in that. I read an article. It had a devotional in it. It was a devotional, and it talked about that our brains are kind of wired that if we have these half-finished projects, they kind of hit replay in our head, and then we're like, oh, I have that project. I have that project to do, and it kind of adds stress.
Yeah.
So for me, I do need to get some of those finished to get move up my to-do list.
But that's what drives you? Like, if you didn't have goals, you wouldn't. You don't make yourself work at it if you don't have a goal.
It doesn't matter either way.
I'm just curious. You know.
Well, and I sometimes I have a, like, if I have a specific goal of finishing a project. Like Royal Garden, I finished that this year. I had a goal that I wanted to finish it within a year because it was a big project, but I knew that was totally achievable. And I did, and it's done. And now I'm like, oh, I should probably frame that. Yeah, there it is on a stretcher bars. I could use those stretcher bars for something else. But like Spring Hill, it's out because I want to keep moving that forward and get it done. Because I don't feel good starting Summer Hill
right.
until I get Spring Hill done. Because right. They're huge pieces. They're huge. And so, yeah, I guess that I like having a goal to get something done.
Hmm. Okay.
And if I don't, I don't necessarily, I don't finish things.
Yeah. Okay.
They just end up being in that whip UFO pile and live in the basement. And then they haunt me in October.
Yeah. Now see, yeah, it just doesn't do that for me. And then I don't feel that pressure. And then that gives me the freedom to pull out any one at any time
and work start on a new one
or start and a start new one. Yeah. 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 But even, you know, even the ones like, you know, this one is over here. Let me just grab that thing and do a little work with it. I'm fine with that. It's, yeah, I don't need that.
You don't need to finish them. You don't have that urge to.
No. I like to finish them. Don't get me wrong. It's not like I couldn't care less. I mean, I do like to finish them, and I love that point that you reach in a project where you can see the finish line, and then you just dig in and go, and
right,
and you don't let up. You know, that's fun in its own right, but see, for me, it's what I learn out of them. So, like Spring Hill is an example. Now, I haven't gotten back to that because then I started working on that sampler. But Spring Hill is one where I wanted to do as much modification as I could, and so still planning on that. Like you talk about the sheep down that are on the hill. You know, how are you going to put some wool in there? Well, I'm going to use that wool that. We got Kathy Andrews told us about at the EGA right. seminar on the sheep. But I want to modify that as many ways as I can. Now, have I gone very far on it? No, but I will say in my defense, I got really sick right when I was starting to gain some momentum on that, and right. And that got, now it's got set aside. But So that's the interest, that's the challenge for that one. And the process of doing that is what I find enjoyable. And if it's another year before it's done, it probably is. It's okay with me. But I do want to have it finished, because I have to say that I would like to have all four when Karen has them all done. I'd like to have all four of those stitched, because I think that would be a display on a wall to end all displays.
Yes. And even if you rotated them out, you didn't have a lot of space.
Right.
They're each stunning in their own way.
Right.
The colors she uses. But so I've got to ask, what's your favorite part about a project? Is it starting it? Is it choosing it? I mean, just gathering the materials. Do you have a favorite part?
It's the stitching of it. I mean, I have no trouble finding pieces or starting, but starting's a pain in the butt to me. You know, I getting all that organized. You know, it's a nice quiet afternoon to get everything put together and so on and so forth. But it's just, you know, can we get to it here?
Yes. I want someone to magically come and get my pieces framed up and ready to go with all the threads. Everything ready, poof, and then I can just start stitching.
Right. Well, that's where I get frustrated at times, because I bought a small slate frame from a Needle and Haystack, and I have a Natalie Dupuy goldwork piece. All right, I'd like to work on that. I'd like to see what that's like, doing it more than just a few little test stitches. But that means I have to learn how to put a piece of cloth on a slate frame.
Right.
Okay. And I'm sure it's not all that tough, but I've never done it. And, you know, I can just see several hours of frustration trying to get it all squared up and drum tight on all sides and all of that. So I got to sit down and learn that. Well, you know, that's that prep work that, I'll come back to that another day, you know?
Right.
Yeah, I need an elf. I need an elf in the middle of the night.
Come and set up my slate frame for me.
That's right.
Yeah. All right. And setting something like that up. I've done that with a friend. Not a slate frame, but we laced Evertights actually to mimic a slate frame.
Oh.
And luckily I did it with a friend. We sat together and did it, and she kind of again held my hand while I worked on it. It made it so much easier to do it with somebody else than do it by yourself. So we might have to just do a show where you lace your slate frame. Maybe we can get someone to show how kind of walk us.
Natalie.
I don't think it's that hard. I think it's more
right
time consuming.
I think it's like lacing a finished piece. It's just tedious.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, once you get it, you know, then throughout the stitching project, it just sits there. Yeah.
Right.
Natalie, what you doing?
Yeah. Oh, that would be good, though. I think people will learn from that one.
That'd be a pretty narrow audience interest, but it'd be fun. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it would be a great resource to have.
Right.
And that's the plus.
Yeah.
So, but your favorite part is it's not the beginning of a project. Is it the middle of the project or the end of the project?
Doesn't matter. I just like sitting there doing it, you know, something on TV, something in my headphones, and just, you know, time where I can just put everything else out of my mind and just do it. That's, you know, whether it's a half hour, but my fundamental problem is I'm always trying to find that 2 hour block. And I really have to teach myself that 80% of the time that's never going to exist. So take what I have. I think Cindy Baldwin said that to me a couple of podcasts ago. Take what I can get and use it and be glad for that little segment. And
Right.
Yeah.
Because sometimes that's all you have. I know sometimes I only have 5 minutes sometimes. So I know Gayan Rogers has said this, you know, she says, even if all you have is 5 minutes, notice how much stitching you can get done in 5 minutes.
Right.
You even set a timer, say, okay, I have 5 minutes, set the timer, see how many stitches you can put in. It might be not very many. It might be quite a few, depending on what you're working on. Yeah. But you'll see progress in the app. Yeah, I'm totally for that. But
and see, but it just all... oh, it just makes it grates me to no end, because that's when we moved, that I set up my office studio specifically for that, and I really have to consciously work at it, because I am set up so that I can literally turn away from my work and do 15 minutes of stitching and then go back to work. It is absolutely set up perfectly for that. But you know, it's that setting a new habit. You got to mentally force yourself to do it time after time after time till it gets ingrained. And I have not done that. And
my middle son is working on his PhD, and he was told this is going to be your worst semester. This is it. At one point he did the math and he said, well, I can sleep and do all the work they've given me. And I said, well, what about eating and doing your laundry? He says, those are now optional. And so I said, you know, you're going to have to just schedule. I mean, you're really going to have to be regimented in your life. And I'm just wondering the same thing for you. You know, what if you set a timer on your watch for noon? Yeah, I mean, you probably stop and eat lunch, right?
Not usually. See, that's the thing. I don't.
Yeah. So maybe when at noon, or when, you know, whenever you're normally say, okay, I'm going to give myself 15 minutes and give myself lunch. And that 15 minutes, I'm going to stitch. Yeah. And then I'll go back to eating at the desk like I normally do. Whatever.
Yeah, that's what I got. That's what I got to do, because you know that was the plan, was exactly that, and to the point where Marga even commented several times, you know, I'm never going to see you, and I said, yeah, there is high potential for that, but I mean it's ideal. I got exactly what I wanted all the way around in that room, and now I got to take advantage of it because it's sitting there, and yeah.
And it's interesting to me too, like my children are all gone. They're in college and away. And I still don't give myself permission to stitch during the day. Heaven forbid I give myself 15 minutes to work on a project.
Yeah.
It's not that I can't. It's not that anyone's stopping me from doing that. I just don't give myself that permission to say, okay, you know what? You can do this. You know, it's okay. So yeah, it's a habit.
That to me enters into, that's got to be the hardest thing about retiring, is you, like, I mean, I started working, I was 16, you know, the work day has been blocked out for the paying job, what, 80%, 90% of our lives. And then to turn that switch off and say, now from 9 to 5, I can do anything I want. That's got to be a tough adjustment.
I think it is. And if you don't have a hobby or something you're passionate about to do, I think it becomes even more difficult.
Yeah.
You know, what do I do with my time? You know, and then I'm wasting it because I'm not working on something. Well, you're retired. You know, it's okay if you want to sit around and read a book all afternoon. That's, you know, what's the problem with that? You're retired. You're allowed to do that.
But from 9 to 5 every day for, you know, 40 years, whatever, I've had to report for duty, and now all of a sudden I don't. Oh man. Yeah.
I know. It's going to be a real shift.
Yep.
Mentally more than anything else, I think.
Yeah. Well, I'm not at that doorstep yet, but you know, I remember when my grandfather worked his entire career for the railroad, and Grand Trunk Railroad, and when he retired, he came home and see, he was a switch gang foreman, so he was out on tracks all week, so he would leave on Monday and come back on Friday. For his entire career. And when he retired, you know, big party and the whole thing, and then he was home. and he had nothing because he had his job didn't give him an opportunity to have a hobby. Right. You know, and he'd come home on weekends and mow the lawn and tend the gardens and those kinds of things. But he had nothing. And, oh, he deteriorated so fast, just mentally, physically. He just, you know, like within a couple of months, it was, what happened to him? And my dad took him one day, sat him down. And my dad's not a very forceful person, but he did this time and said, look, we're going down to the local hardware store. They have an opening and we're getting you a job. And because he had nothing. He didn't have a hobby like we have. Mm-hmm. And he got him. They did. And they hired him 180 degrees almost overnight. Because he had some, and he was just working part time. But, oh, man, it was, you know, it's like, thank you, Dad. You saved the guy. Because, you know, he his mind now had something to occupy. He had stories to tell about how he helped so-and-so with this project and so-and-so with that project and blah, 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 blah. And, but, you know, there was that retiree who didn't have a thing to do and all of a sudden had a purpose again. And we're all sitting here waiting for retirement so we can just stitch all day.
Stitch all day. And again, you know, here I am, you know, quote unquote retired from having, you know, kids, and I still don't give myself that permission to take the break. Well, I can stitch for hours on end. Yeah. Well, oh, I better go do this. There's these things to do, but I do feel sorry for people that, you know, don't have some sort of hobby that they have, something they enjoy doing that, you know, can occupy their time. Because this is enjoyable. Not only are you creating, you know, you something you enjoy doing, at the end, I have something to show people.
Right. Right.
Even if it's just partially done. You
know, right.
It's something fun to share with others. So.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's a real plus. Yep. And a way to connect with other people,
right.
All kinds of opportunities to expand and grow and yeah, all those things.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. I think we'll call it right here.
All right. Sounds good.
I think we will. All right. So tonight, Deb DeCrane is going to show us how to lace. I'm really anxious to see this. Cause I've just seen, you know, somebody who was doing the final adjustments on something, and I want to see how this gets started and what it's like. And
right, all the steps.
Yep. So join us tonight for that. Sunday, Trish and Wynn. Really, really anxious for people to hear that. And then the 17th, now Sunday the 17th, which is actually this Sunday, coming up. Shopping at the Attic. Yep.
Have your credit cards at the Attic so you're ready to do your shopping.
Yep. That's going to be fun.
Oh, I'm excited to see what she's going to share.
I know.
It'll be fun. Jean will be a font of information too as she shares her kits.
She's got a massive store full of stuff, so we should be able to have some 2 hours worth of things to buy.
Yes. Yep.
All right. That's it. Thanks for listening.
Bye.